welcome to another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, that supports people with cancer who have an interest in integrative medicine and in looking into all the ways in which they might improve their quality of life and their treatment outcome. In the show, I get to talk to experts from around the world in a vast range of therapies and approaches for cancer, as well as to scientists pushing the boundaries of our understanding. Today, I shall be talking to an endocrinologist in Serbia who is looking well outside the box of her original training. I'm speaking over Skype to Dr. Daniela Drasković in Belgrade. Thanks very much for joining us on the Yes to Life show today.
Thank you, Robin, and greetings from Belgrade, Serbia.
Thank you. So you're an endocrinologist. So my layman's understanding of that title is that you work with hormones, but I bet there's a lot more to it than that. Would you start by giving us a proper description of what endocrinology is?
Yes, of course. I work in my office for 1 year as endocrinologist, but I do a lot of work about psychoneuroendocrine immunology.
Wow.
It means that all reasons for all chronic diseases we can find in endocrinologic problems about hormones and all another immune diseases in our body, especially about autoimmune diseases that we have so much in our times now, because of another new thinking about autoimmune diseases are like pre-malignancy problems.
Right.
So all autoimmune diseases are not working properly about treating. Until now, we could not help our patients with problems, with any other problems like thyroid diseases, diabetes, or metabolic diseases, hypophysis diseases. So if someone could have some autoimmune disease, we can only wait for that gland to stop working and get some supportive therapy. So that's something that is changing in medicine, and that's something that a lot of patients with any problems like tumors have a lot of autoimmune diseases inside that's, that can be seen or found in the before any other chronic diseases.
Okay, well, that's interesting. So, in a way, medicine has specialized in different parts of the body or different systems of the body, but I think what you're saying is that endocrinology is branching out to be really implicated in lots of different kinds of disease.
Yes, holistic approach for everything, because we cannot say now, even if we are doctors for something like one organ, we cannot talk about a problem with one organ. We have to talk about problem of whole body, because if one organ is in problem, it means that we have to address to all other organs inside, because all are together. We are one total body, not only separated organs. So it means that endocrinology can help to address and to find focus on cause of all chronic diseases inside.
Well, very interesting and refreshing to hear you talk about the human body in that way, because traditionally it's not been dealt with in that way. Like we're looked at as machines with lots of parts that become defective and you have to fix them. So, you know, it's well known at this point that there's a huge relationship between hormones and many of the main types of cancer that people suffer from. Do you want to just tell us about, you know, those main areas that there's no dispute about the fact that hormones are maybe the main factor driving them?
Yes, we can talk about three main organ endocrinologists, endocrinological organs like thyroid gland, adrenal gland, and pancreas.
Okay.
With these three organs, we have cause for every another organ and tumor, because when we have hormones of thyroid hormones, T3, we have a lot of complications and not too much thyroid hormones and with patients that have tumors, any kind of malignancy. And on the other side, we have problems with sugar levels, insulin levels.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that it's so much speak about keto diet or the tumor that works on sugar levels and insulin. And it's a so complicated story about insulin and sugar. Mm-hmm. And another adrenal gland that works with cortisol, hormones of stress. And all these three organs are very important for any, you can say on the one side that we have all those hormone levels are totally different in patients that have malignancy or in a healthy patients or right. another problems.
Mm, right. Okay, so this is very important territory anyway when it comes to chronic conditions such as cancer. Now, and you've trained as an endocrinologist. Did you have a period of working just as a straightforward endocrinologist?
Yes, of course, for more than 24 years.
Right, okay. But I understand that you've also branched out, you've expanded your training, and you've trained in functional medicine. So what actually drew you to want to do that?
We here in Serbia, we cannot train proper functional medicine as you have in America and in London. Mm. But as endocrinologist, it's for me, it's very easy to follow. The main reason why doctors in America and Europe would like to go like in a holistic approach to find the cause and the symptom, not only to treat symptom, but to find and treat the real cause of all another chronic diseases, especially in malignancy.
Right.
So that's why for a couple of years, because I'm also teacher of some spiritual techniques, and I work like integrative doctor.
Okay.
That's why I think that malignancy is something that it's the last step of all our problems in our body. Something that is very autodestructive, and that there is so much that we can give our patients to go to levels that we can help them and treat even those patients with a lot of complications and metastasis in other organs.
Mm.
Something that is very important is to know that on one side you have tumor and problems with tumor, but on the other side you have malignancies like problem with whole body, with stem cells and other problems. So like doctor, or like endocrinologist, or integrative medicine, functional medicine, we can do everything that is up to us to find the real cause and to treat it.
Mm, right, absolutely. So being a combined endocrinologist and functional medicine practitioner would be, I think, a very unusual position to be in the UK. I've certainly not heard of anyone like this. Well, are you unusual in Serbia?
Of course. I'm the only one.
The only one. Right. Okay. Just checking. So, but functional medicine, it's beginning to make inroads into the UK healthcare, but it's primarily coming in through GPs. And I think they're really appreciating the new tools it offers for many of the issues, particularly the chronic ones, of course, that their patients want to help with. So it hasn't really made any inroads into hospital medicine yet, certainly not into oncology. So is it just the same over in Serbia, that kind of thinking is still not in hospital medicine?
I only treat, I'm only speaking about immune oncology, because functional medicine or immune oncology can help us to really understand malignant cell.
Yes.
Because it's totally different from any other cell. So I always say we cannot have a war with malignant cell. We can only play chess with them.
That's interesting. So, but still, in your hospitals in Serbia, the thinking is still as it is in the UK, that they're trying to kill cancer cells, essentially.
Yes.
Okay.
It's no chemotherapy, but there are a lot of people that would like to do everything for immune system.
Right.
To help to prevent another complications for immune system, because you know that chemotherapy or radiation makes problem with another cells in our body, especially with our immune system, T and B cells.
Mm, indeed. Okay, so in the UK here commonly, well, first of all, a lot of cancer patients do a lot of things other than their conventional treatment. And commonly, yes, they'll do things to do with their diet. They might take herbs and supplements. They might do a whole range of things. But also commonly, they don't tend to tell their oncologist about what they're doing. And they find if they ask their oncologist any advice, they're just told not to do any of it. That's what, you know, that's the general rule is that no, don't do any of it while you're doing your chemotherapy or whatever. So it's a blanket thing. And most, you know, an awful lot of people, they carry on and do what they think is the right thing to do and just don't tell the oncologist about it so as not to upset them. I'm interested to know, is it the same in Serbia? How do things go there?
Yes, it's much pretty the same, but I think that most important is that the patients are very afraid and they don't know where to address with those questions about about food, that what to think about raw food or about ketogenic diet or any kind of other foods, the animal food or on just vegetables and fruits. And I think that a lot of doctors, they don't know anything about that.
No.
And that's really the big problem. On the other side, supplementation is very important because, as you know, a lot of patients that they are on the chemotherapy radiation, they need to have supplementation because it will help to reduce side effects of chemotherapy on one side, on the other side, to restore blood counts. That's very important because of the anemia that they have after therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's very important for every patient to, when they are on any kind of therapy, that to go to ask their doctors if it's not oncologist, if he doesn't know anything about that, maybe to go to another doctor to speak about food, about supplementation. So you have covered all those things that we have spoken about, immunity and food. It's very important to all patients.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Daniela. Absolutely agree with you. The problem's a dual one in a way. It seems that the oncologists, they don't know anything about these things. They're not trained in them. And that's the thing that prompts them to just say, don't do it. I don't think we're going to get oncologists trained as functional medicine practitioners or nutritionists or anything like that. But I do think they could be aware that such people exist and that they could be extremely helpful. That would be a massive step forward.
Yes, I think really.
Hmm. So you've already said a little bit about this, but functional medicine is a really different approach to healthcare. And I'm just interested in how the taking this training has affected the way that you work and the way you look at and evaluate your patients' problems.
Probably because spiritual techniques, because I can go deeper to our mind and emotions, because I think that there is so much that we can help our patients to understand the reason why they get so autodestructive illness.
Right.
And to help them to reset the proper thinking of their own body, mind and soul. And on the level of, as a doctor, to to help them to prevent and to strengthen their immune system. And that's the main reason that we can the main thing that we can help our patients, just to see them as a whole of holistic approach.
Right. And so I mean, clearly you think that's a great idea, and so do I. But do you want to say what the difference is from the point of view of the results you achieve when you look at a patient as a whole patient rather than trying to deal with particular symptoms or problems in one area?
You have totally different points on the end, because you have a patient that is that understand mm-hmm. why they get the problem, and when you have a conscious problem and you resolve it, on the other level you see the changing on their immune system, because it's what endocrinology says, or all our mental problems and our emotions lowers our immune system on one side. On the other side, you have to give patient a lot of supplements and change their food immunomodulatory therapy that can help very much about that.
Right. So you're very much in the territory here of the indivisibility of mind and body, really, that the two things are absolutely connected and can't be separated effectively. And the very long name you gave at the beginning of the interview is what refers to this. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you want to repeat it so we can get our head around it properly? Psycho, neuro, endocrine, something like that? Yeah?
Psycho, neuro, like neurology, psychiatry, neurology, endocrinology, immunology. It's all together.
Yeah, well, that's quite a mouthful.
That means that our mental and emotional problems address to our endocrine system, amygdala, hypophysis, and that goes to another immune system. It lowers our immune system, and that's why we get some chronic diseases after that.
Right. Well, this is interesting that it's got a bit of a name now, because it's always just been talked about as the mind-body connection, colloquially, but this is obviously a technical name for it.
It's named PNEI, or P-N-E-A-I.
Oh, I see. Good. All right. I'm glad it's got a short version. It needs that. P-N-E-A-I. Okay. Great. So that's actually recognized as something that people study, yeah?
Yes, of course. A lot of doctors in America does it.
Right. Great. Okay. Maybe you could just say a little bit about the most recent discoveries in this field. I mean, what has research shown up?
I'm not sure for now, because in Serbia we have a lot of our endocrinologists, and they are trying to deal with mostly about endocrinology problems, like problems with thyroid gland, adrenal gland, about chronic stress. The most important problem is chronic stress, right, and they mostly deal with it. But on the other level, I more speak about immunology, because I think that in immunology is every reason why that's the end point of all these problems with hormones and with all other problems, mental and emotional, and all these problems you see is like end point on our immune system.
I see.
They say when you are happy and you have emotions in yourself, you can have any virus or when they say if you fall in love, you cannot have a virus.
Right, really?
So that means that when you are depressed, you probably can have some problems with your immune system. You can have more viruses. That is the reason.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. And yes, it's a very long name, but it, as you've alluded to there, it ends in immunology. That's the last piece about it. So you're right. I can see how the whole science is about the way all these things affect the immune system. And therefore, you're looking to improve, to strengthen the immune system in any treatment that you give.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So with all this knowledge that you have, how much potential do you think there is for developing novel ways of approaching cancer care from this area?
I think that in future, patients with malignancy will have to be addressed to all another doctors, not only oncologists, but psychiatrists, neurologists, endocrinologists, immunologists. Because sometimes when you see the whole picture, you can help that patients more than only like looking them from tumor that they have.
Right. So this is the model of integrated medicine, of course.
Yes, yes. Yes, it's like Dr. House.
Very good. All right. Well, it's interesting because it's you're really talking about a science of integrated medicine when it's applied to chronic disease. Chronic diseases, I think everybody acknowledges, are largely due to the same factors. I think that's well acknowledged now, isn't it, that the underpinnings of so many of the major chronic diseases are the same factors that are wrong in our bodies.
Yes. Evidence-based medicine.
Yes. Yeah, so most conventional treatments, as we agreed, they focus exclusively on trying to kill cancer cells. So in terms of dealing with the cancer itself, what do you think this approach you talked about is going to bring into the picture that's not already there? What are the new factors? You talked about the pathways that you're going to be getting there, but biologically, what effect is this likely to have on the progress of somebody's cancer?
I will try to tell you like this. One approach is to lower acidity in our body. With this therapy, like a lot of base in our food, like a lot of green food in our body, can lower that. And lemon juice is very good for that. So with that treatment of our acidity in our body, on one side, we can help those malignant cells to restore. Maybe we can try to ask them. It's a little bit complicated, but it's maybe we can, if we cannot help them to become again healthy, we can try to make field over them to be normal, because they cannot live in normal field.
Right.
It's we call it extracellular matrix.
Extracellular matrix. Just to be clear, so yeah, that term extracellular matrix, that's another way of saying the environment in which the cell exists.
Yes, environment. Yeah. We are talking about environment. So yeah. If we help our body to make the normal environment for normal cells, that's something that is very important in treating malignant cell. On the other side, we have functional problems with our microbiota. I think it's too much excessive levels of candida, yeast, right, on one side, and the other side is Helicobacter pylori. Okay. And another forms of Helicobacter that are very important for our digestion and problems with our gastrointestinal tumors in our body.
Right.
On the other side, there are parasites. But the reason why we have excessive levels of Helicobacter and Candida and parasites are because we have a lot of pesticides inside and a lot of not good extracellular matrix, and that on the other side they help us to they are trying to help us, but when they are overgrown they by itself makes problems to us. So on one level, when you address to environment problems, like on one side the CZT, or the other side the Helicobacter candida and parasites, there are so many things that we can help patients with malignancy to feel better, and maybe to help stem cells, malignant stem cells, to restore and make it probably not going to make so much another cells in our body.
So I wanted to talk about stem cells. So cancer stem cells, just for everybody to be on the same page. So these are sort of specialized cancer cells, which have all the ability to promote growth, to promote metastasis. They're kind of, if you like, the most dangerous aspect of cancer. Would that be right?
It's mother cell.
Mother cell.
Yes, it's mother cell.
Yeah.
And she can live 30 years.
Right.
So it means for 30 years you have to really think about your immune system, even you are cancer-free after some therapy, any kind of therapy. If you don't have tumor inside, it doesn't mean that you don't have malignant illness, because stem cells are waiting.
Right. I never heard that before, that they could live for 30 years. That's quite a thing.
Yes.
Okay, so that's very important. And the other side of the picture with cancer stem cells is they're much harder to affect than normal cancer cells.
Yes, because chemotherapy and radiation cannot address to stem cells.
Right.
Only proliferated cells, not stem cells. That's why immunomodulatory therapy, and this talking about Candida, Helicobacter, that can help to stem cells more than any other therapy.
Right. So this is really important. Right. So it's hard to treat them in conventional ways, and even if you have what appears to be a fantastic response to conventional treatment, where a tumor shrinks right back down or whatever, if you're left with some stem cells, you've still got the potential for it all to start all over again. Okay, so we need novel ways of approaching stem cells, because without that, in a way, we haven't fixed the problem. We've just got rid of some of the sort of the excess, if you like. But we're not necessarily in a better position for the long term. So interesting that you say these kind of techniques of looking at the health of your gut, the health of your body generally, the condition of your body, actually have a lot more potential for dealing with these stem cells. How does that deal with stem cells? Does it control them, or does it actually get rid of them?
Both things.
Okay.
On one side, it can help a stem cell. Maybe it looks like ridiculous when I say that, but I think with this therapy, we can make stem cells again to be healthy.
I see. You make them revert.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, does this follow on from the kind of work? I mean, there was some really important lab trials that were done in America some time ago now, which showed that taking the nucleus of a cancer cell and putting it in a healthy environment actually caused it to revert. Yes. So this is that kind of territory we're in, yeah?
Yes, because that's the reason that why they say if you have healthy body, you cannot have malignant cells inside so much, because you have normal immune system that can help you to make good environment in your body.
Right. That's very important. Okay, so I just want to, you've been using the term immuno-oncology. Is that commonly used, that word?
Yes.
Is that one? I haven't come across it particularly. I've heard of immunotherapy, but not immuno-oncology. Is there a difference?
Yes, immuno-oncology is a novel therapy. It's something that is addressing that immunology and oncology can work together.
Right.
So last year in Kyoto, in Japan, they had a big summit, about 200 immunologists from all around the world get together, and they spoke about all those problems with so many epidemic problems with malignancy in all around the world. So they addressed all down the end that we have to deal with one disease on one side, tumors on the other side, and immune system on the third side. So we have to see all those problems together and deal with them together. So it means that the immunologist and the oncology can work together help patients.
I see. So in that way you've described it then, oncology is being referred to as, if you like, the technique of killing cancer cells. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
I see. So combining that with the immunology then brings you this two-pronged approach, which you hope is going to deal not only with the bulk of the cancer cells, but also with the stem cell problem.
Yes, because immunology knows they have so many new strategies about mechanism of working the malignant cell therapy, malignant stem cells. So when you have a lot of immunologists that can address those new approaches and new knowledge of malignant cell mechanism working, you can help to address only on that another, like I can tell on English, like when you know the mechanism of working a malignant stem cell, you can help patients with therapy. Because that's why I say that we cannot make war with malignant cell. We can play chess, because we can know all the moves that she can do it.
Right.
So we have to be more.
Yeah, I understand. You have to outsmart it. It's very interesting. There was quite an important article in one of the leading American journals. I think it was more a magazine, not a medical journal, I think, where they were discussing the fact that in nature generally, if you try and eradicate something, you push it beyond the point where it is forced to mutate in order to survive.
Yes, yes.
But if you don't, if you don't take such a brutal approach, but you use the same techniques even to try and control it to a certain extent, you don't force it to mutate, and therefore it doesn't. It's not such a dangerous enemy. This seems very much like the kind of game of chess you're referring to, where you understand the problem and you're using not using brute force. You're actually using your intelligence to actually keep the thing in control.
Yes, only to control that.
Yeah.
Only that, because we can live. We are tumors with our malignant cells 10, 20, 30 years, because even when the patient get a diagnosis of malignancy, all doctors will tell you it's not something that you have for 1 year. Probably you have this for maybe 5-10 years. So you, with all those 10 years, you lived with that.
Yeah.
So it means that with our therapy, we can make it like to live like hypertension, like diabetes, like chronic disease. Work and deal with that and live with that.
Right.
That's something that Eastern medicine says.
Well, it's refreshing that. I mean, it's very different to the picture that was always put out about cancer, which is it's kind of like an exponential curve, that you either cut it off dead and it doesn't go anywhere, or it just grows exponentially and nothing you can do stops it. So, you know, to actually look at it as something that can be under control and, you know, monitored carefully and lived with for a long period of time. Well, it's a much more hopeful and useful model for a start, but also it portrays the disease very differently as a process that we can work with.
Yes.
Well, look, I'm very grateful to Linda Vazzoli at The Really Healthy Company put me in touch with you and making me aware of your work. It's been really interesting to talk, and it's particularly refreshing to talk to somebody who is obviously well aware of the whole field of conventional medicine, but has a real open-mindedness about the whole topic of cancer. It's really refreshing. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Robin, and I appreciate it, really.
Bye-bye.
Well, I used to think that psychoneuroimmunology was a bit of a mouthful. I think for this new title, for the science of the mind and body connection, I'll stick with the acronym PNEAI. But it's certainly good to hear about the progress of the move away from the mechanistic view of the body and health towards a more holistic view. This is desperately needed and long overdue. As I mentioned at the end of the show last week, the Yes to Life London Conference is now scheduled for the 21st of March next year in Euston, and the subject for the day will be Nutritional Science and Cancer, exploring the increasing consensus and unanswered contradictions. It's going to be a day packed with up-to-date science, inspiring speakers, and hot debate. Confirmed speakers include Dr. Robert Verkerk from the Alliance for Natural Health, Ali Jaffe from the Inspirational Initiative to Introduce Nutrition into Doctors' Training, NutriTank, registered dietitian and nutritional therapist, Merody Birdie, and functional medicine practitioner, Melanie Aldridge. If you hurry, you might just be able to catch an early bird ticket with a significant discount. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait until the release of the full price tickets in the new year. Places this year will be strictly limited, so do book early if you want to be sure of your seat. For more information, go to the Yes to Life website, that's yestolife.org.uk, Y-E-S-T-O-L-I-F-E, yestolife.org.uk, and follow the links from the homepage. Please do make a point of joining me again next week here on UK Health Radio, if you can. Goodbye. Thank you.